going out, I'll tell you that today's scripture reading is in 2 Peter. It's chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And it's a list. And the reason that I mention that is that because when we read lists, we try to burn through them as quickly as we can until we get to the easier part of the reading. And something I have learned myself is that when I come to a list, I have to take each item individually as something specific that has remained unchanged for thousands of years because God wanted to say it to me. Otherwise, we get hung up on lists. So, starting in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. He has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins.
Good morning, church. It's great to see all these lovely faces here this morning. And as I was in the back, you know, holding the baby, trying to keep her quiet, I noticed some people here that I wanted to call attention to. Mark Dobrindt's up there, back there, I should say, a friend of mine from Portland, and really great to see you. And also Sam here. Sam, can you raise your hand? Sam is a new student at Western Oregon University, and we're glad to have him here. He's from Hood River, and he's going to be worshiping here with us, and so make sure you get to say hi to Sam. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. We're going to start a new series today on 1 Corinthians, and today is the introductory lesson. 1 Corinthians. Now, you would have to be like totally gone out of the country or totally unplugged from the media or anything to not know that we are currently in a big discussion about healthcare in our country, right? Does anybody know that? I mean, everywhere you turn, it's on the late night shows, it's on the halls of Congress, it's in the White House, it's even overseas they're talking about what's going on with America in healthcare. And I thought maybe today I would use an analogy from the whole idea of healthcare to help us think through some introductory material about the book of 1 Corinthians. And probably, if I were to do one of those kind of psychological, you know, free association things, and I were to say, what comes into your mind first when you think of healthcare, you might think of what? Bills, okay, good, yeah. What else? Hospital, Oregon Health Plan, okay. I was thinking maybe somebody might think of this guy, right, a doctor. And yes, I did think about snagging a picture of Tom and, you know, photoshopping it a little bit and putting it up there, but I decided not to. Instead, I snagged a picture of a doctor off of the website. We think of doctors, right? And they're at the heart of this discussion about healthcare. And I thought, let's talk about going to the doctor as an analogy of what of 1 Corinthians, looking at the book of 1 Corinthians. You know, nobody really likes to go to the doctor. I'm sorry, Tom. It really is true. I mean, most of us, if you would raise our hands and say, do you like to go to the doctor? Most of us would say, probably not. And I was thinking about this. Why is that the case? And, you know, you don't have to think too hard. I mean, when you're a baby, you're nice and comfortable. Everything's fine inside the womb. You're warm. You don't have to work for your food or anything. And all of a sudden, you come out, and who's the first person that you see? A doctor, right, looking at you and doing all kinds of things, prodding you, poking you. I mean, it's kind of uncomfortable. And no wonder we have kind of this bad association with going to the doctor. He slapped us, first one to slap us around. Okay? And, you know, We have to get shots, right? How many of you didn't sign up for the blood drive this past week because you don't like needles? Okay, we saw some hands. We don't like that. And you know, when we lived in England, we thought it was interesting that they don't call it shots, because we actually had to get Makaira some shots over there. They call them jabs. And how would you like that? Jabs. Gah, you know? I mean, no wonder we don't like going to the doctor. And it doesn't matter, despite the magazines, despite the soft music, there's this disconcerting feeling that when they open the door and I go inside there, something painful is going to happen to me. Or at the very least, uncomfortable. But why do we go to the doctor? To get better. We know it's good for us. We know that this person exists to help us. This person asks questions. How are you feeling? They shine a light in our eyes and our ears. They check our vital signs, our pulse, our heart rate, our blood pressure. They take samples and they analyze them to see if there may be some kind of problem. And they do that overall visual examination. So thorough that a good doctor, you really can't hide from them, especially if they're extremely experienced. When you're thoroughly examined for health, it can be pretty grueling and invasive. And what I would like for us to do for the next few months is to take a look at the book of 1 Corinthians and look at it like we're being examined by the great physician. You know, Scripture talks about this idea of examining yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." There is this sense in which we need to be constantly looking in to see if we're healthy spiritually. Because there's a lot of unhealthy things going around. There's a lot of viruses and bacteria. There's actually someone who's actively trying to destroy your spiritual health. Did you know that? It's bad enough just to go through life and catch things accidentally, but somebody's actually trying to destroy you spiritually. His name is Satan. He's the opponent, the adversary of God, and he wants to destroy your relationship with God. And so how much more is it important that we do some examination? And that examination needs to come first and foremost from Holy Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4 says this about this process, or what the Word of God can actually do, and why it is the primary means of examination. "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. And everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." There's no better doctor for our spiritual health than the Word of God. And the farther we stray from it, the more unhealthy we will be. It is truly, as the song says, a light unto our path. So let's talk about spiritual health this next couple months, utilizing the Word of God, and specifically 1 Corinthians. Let us pray as we ask God to help us in this study. Our Father in heaven, you are the great physician. Your Son Jesus came into the world to heal us. And Lord, we confess that we need your help to be healthy. We cannot be healthy on our own. And I pray, Father, that you will today open our hearts and minds to your word, but for the next several months as we study 1 Corinthians, that you will open us up to what you would have us learn from this letter. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen. The book of 1 Corinthians is one of the most interesting books in the New Testament. It was written to a church with a lot of problems, with a lot of things that were not right and that needed to be fixed. A few things about this city of Corinth: it was located right there in the what we call the Peloponnese, the very northern part of Greece. It was very close to a port. It had a very important port that was in the ancient world frequented. Let me try it again. People went there a lot. How about that? Frequented. Okay, I won't even try it again. They went there a lot. Okay. And it was a city that was pretty important in the ancient world. Okay, they had their own games, kind of like the Olympic Games, the Isthmian Games that took place there. In the pre-Roman days, it was known for its great immorality, and the Romans actually conquered it in 146. Rebuilt the city as a kind of a colony of sorts, not completely, but it was a rebuilt city, but still very diverse. Lots of Romans, lots of Jews, lots of Greeks, and people from all over the world. And Paul had an interesting relationship with the church at Corinth. He had been there in Acts chapter 18. If you want to look in your Bible, maybe jot that down and look later. But Paul shows up there shortly after he was in Athens. Last week we talked about Acts chapter 17. Paul preaches in Athens. Well, the next place he comes, just down a little bit across the isthmus, is into Corinth. And he preaches there, and he has some success. In fact, he spends a year and a half in Corinth in ministry. I mean, that's a long time, right? 18 months in one place. I would love to have the Apostle Paul here teaching us for 18 months. Wouldn't that be awesome? And that's what the Corinthians had. And when he went away, he continued to correspond with them. In this correspondence, we know that there were at least three times that Paul wrote them. One is what we call the previous letter. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, Paul says, verse 9, I have written you in my letter, previous letter, not to associate with sexually immoral people. Evidently, Paul had written them a letter. We don't have that letter. Okay, it is not known to us. But they knew about it, and Paul refers to it. So that's one letter. Then we have the book of 1 Corinthians, which is very long, 15 chapters. And then we also have 2 Corinthians. And some scholars think there may have been another letter floating around, going back and forth between Paul and the Corinthian church. And one of the reasons for so much correspondence is that there were some issues there. The purpose of his letter, 1 Corinthians, is that the church in Corinth had some questions. Take a look at chapter 7, verse 1. We believe that chapters 1 through 6 have to do with things that Paul simply heard about the church in Corinth, and he's addressing. Chloe's people have brought him some information about the church, and he's going to deal with some of those things. But then, starting with chapter 7, verse 1, he says things like this. Now, for the matters you wrote about. And then he goes on. And you see several times in the rest of the epistle, he uses the same construction to say concerning, and then fill in the blank. Whether it's food dedicated to idols, or regarding the spiritual gifts in chapter 12, verse 1. So he is dealing systematically with things that they have written him about. Again, wouldn't that be great if you could write the apostle a letter? You know, we've got things here at Kaiser we're wondering about. Is it okay to do that or this? Or what about these little details? Wouldn't it be great if we could write him a letter and ask point by point? Well, we can't. But we can learn from their questions. Perhaps we can read between the lines in some way and try to discern what would be good for us here. And of course, that's what we want to do. We want to not just leave this in the past and walk away and say, wow, that's very interesting what happened back there in Corinth. Boy, they were really messed up. And Paul sure told them, didn't he? No, if we believe this is the Word of God, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce and distinguish between soul and spirit, and boy, that's a sharp distinction. We believe it's good for us too. The Kaiser Church of Christ, Darren Williamson, Eric Granberg, Don Bodeman, Tom Bristol, all of us as individuals have something to learn from this book to the Corinthians. And I'd like for us to kind of take the approach of going to the doctor. And I love this Norman Rockwell picture, right? I love that, you know, that little girl takes her doll in, something's wrong with my doll, and instead of this doctor just slapping her away, say, but he holds the stethoscope up there. Have you ever done that, Tom? Maybe, okay, one time, okay, good. You know, God is concerned about His people in every place. And I believe when people come to His Word with an open heart and an open mind, He gives us answers. He helps us along. That's the whole point of the doctrine of Revelation. God is revealing to us His heart and His mind and what He wants us to be. He's not left us adrift. So, when we look at 1 Corinthians, I'd like for it to be a full-scale spiritual checkup. Kind of like going to the doctor. It may be a little bit uncomfortable. There may be some prodding and poking and asking of questions that gets a little bit touchy. But that's okay. That's what leads to health. Now, when you go to the doctor, it seems to me like there is several different things that he might say to you. One of them is, you're doing great. And some of you, maybe you've had that. We don't want to boast here or anything, but anybody ever had the doctor say, you're doing great? Okay, Jason, awesome. Yeah. All right, I've gone one time and they said, great, nothing really to do, just keep, you're doing great. Now, this is what Paul has to say to the Corinthians at least at one point. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2, he says, I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings just as I pass them on to you. Now, that's important to keep in mind, embedded in a letter that everybody always thinks, well, the Corinthians, they were so bad. Paul has something to praise them about. There's something they're doing right. And that they should be thankful for and build upon. You know, sometimes we as church people, it is so easy for us to see the bad in our church. It is so easy for us as individuals to focus on our failings and the ways in which we've stumbled. And I think this principle is important for us. There are times when we may say, yes, we're doing well, and but the Apostle Paul, if he were writing a letter back to us, would have some things good to say to us. Sometimes we're simply too hard on ourselves. And there are things that we're doing right. There are things that we have strengths in. And we should acknowledge these in a humble way. And thank God for them. Give Him the glory and the credit for them. Don't get me wrong. But still acknowledge that some things are going right. And you know, I'm kind of running the risk. I'm the new guy here. Still am the new guy, although this is my third full month. Okay? I made it this far. But you know what, guys? I want to praise you. There is a sweet spirit in this church. It's okay to say amen to that. There's a sweet spirit in this church. You know, I've been to some meetings. And I've seen the way you interact. And I want to say, and I've told other people this individually, there's a sweet, good spirit in this congregation. And you are to be praised for that. That is something that God is pleased with. And there are a lot of churches that do not have that. But we've got it. And that is good. And let's build upon that. We all need praise from time to time. We all need to be patted on the back. And there may be some times in this series when we're going to do a little bit of this. Again, give glory to God, but be thankful for the good things that are going on here. You know, kids are very clear about the fact that they want you to praise them, right? I remember the story of a kid who told his dad, Dad, let's go play darts. And, you know, let's go over here and play darts. And I'm going to throw the darts, and you say, wonderful, every time. Is that right? We need that. And I think God would say wonderful to much of what we are doing here. But, you know, there's also another diagnosis. You may go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, things are going okay, but I'd like for you to improve. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the apostle says, I always thank God for you because of his grace, verse 4, this is, given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift, as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. He says in the introduction, I always thank God for you because of the grace that is evident amongst you. And he also makes reference to the spiritual gifts that they are eagerly seeking. What we know, though, from the rest of the letter, because we've read the rest of it, right, is that he actually gets on to them about those spiritual gifts. But at least he's saying, you're seeking them, you're seeking the Spirit. Later on, he'll come and correct. And I think the principle is, you're doing okay, but there's some things you need to do better. There's some things that you need to tweak, for lack of a better word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, the passage that Dan read a few minutes ago, I think has this principle as well. The Apostle Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and so forth, and the list goes on. But the point is, you've got this, great, don't rest there. Go further, add to your faith. You're a good servant, great. Now add to that service a knowledge, more knowledge of the truth. You've got a lot of truth, great. Add to that a love for the lost. And if you love the lost, that's great. Now add, you can always do that. Every church, every individual has things to be added to their faith. And this is the kind of diagnosis that I think we will see perhaps for us a lot as we reflect on 1 Corinthians. There are things we are doing right and good, but the apostle would say to us, keep going. Here are some other things that you can add. I've been to the doctor where he says, good, but you need to do this. You need to do this. You're getting older, Darren. You need to start doing such and such. But then, well, so we would ask this question, or there, we would say there are things, areas in which we can improve. But then there's this diagnosis. Drastic action is required. Now, we all know someone in our life that has gone into the doctor feeling just fine. That routine yearly checkup or whatever. And the doctor gives them the news that is the worst news that they could hear. You have a tumor. You have a malignancy. You have something that is attacking your body, and we have to do something right now about it. Spiritually speaking, I think much of 1 Corinthians is addressed towards these kinds of things. He says in verse 17, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your means do more harm than good. The whole section on the worship is beginning in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, actually a little bit earlier perhaps, but in this section he's moving into talking about worship. He said, when you get together, you're doing more harm than good. And he goes in to explain what those things are. And he starts off talking about the Lord's Supper. And then he goes to talk about how the spiritual gifts are just running amok. And they're ruining one another. They're not edifying. They're actually ruining unity. And then he talks about how you don't love one another. And then he goes on to say it's just chaos in the service. And that's got to change. God is a God of order, he says. There's drastic action required. And he uses some pretty strong language in chapter 14. He says, and by the way, if you don't like what I'm saying, you better acknowledge that I'm speaking from the Lord. And if you don't, the Lord is going to ignore you. It's some pretty strong apostolic language that is used. There may be some drastic action that is required. Some of those spiritual problems that were facing Corinth may be here amongst us. There may be things that we don't even know about. There may be things that the leadership is not aware of because you've frankly done a really good job of hiding it. Paul dealt directly with these things in his letter, and yes, it was painful. He acknowledges that in 2 Corinthians, but he also rejoices that the malignancy was fixed. Surgery was required, and it was performed, and it was not painless, but it worked. There may be some things in our church's life and spiritual lives individually that need drastic change. There may be some things in the lives of individuals that need to stop and go a different direction. And that this epistle may be the prompting that we need to move in the direction that God wants us to go. So, for the next couple months, let's expose ourselves to the Word of God in this series. Let's be asking what God would say to us as the great physician. God, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to change? What are the things that we're doing right? What are the things that we don't need to change at all? Just keep going straight ahead. And what are the things that we need to adjust? And then, Lord, please help us know if there's something that drastically needs to change. Allow yourself to be exposed to the Word of God during this series. I want to encourage you to do a couple things. One is to study and do some self-evaluation. Each week I'm going to be having Julie put in the bulletin what is on the next week's docket, what we're going to be studying the next week. And so if you could just read ahead, that will go a long way for us to track together through 1 Corinthians. And that's where the self-examination comes in. I would encourage you, I've had people ask me a lot, I don't want to read the Bible, I just don't know what to read. Here's something you can read. Read through 1 Corinthians during this season of study of it, and use it as a self-evaluation tool. So look for that in the bulletin. And I believe it's 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 for next week. It's published in the bulletin. Second, pray that God will reveal to you what exactly needs to be changed. That He'll reveal the real status of your spiritual health. This is really ultimately how it happens, through prayer and self-examination. That God will help you understand what needs to change. But the last thing I want to mention is it is crucial that when you go to the doctor, you have the will to do what the doctor says. Thank you, Dr. Bristol. Because you know, it doesn't matter. You go to the doctor every day. You can go there and have the best health care, golden plate health care plan. But when they say do this, and you say, and you don't do it, you're still going to be sick. You know, you can come to this church every single Sunday, this whole month. You can even read the text ahead of time. But if you go out and don't do anything about it, you're still going to be sick. It takes a willingness to submit to the Word of God. Without that, it doesn't matter if you know it or not. Pray about that. Because again, Satan wants you to feel like you've done enough by just showing up here for a little while and listening. And then he's going to say, well, yeah, that's church. But then there's the real life. And that preacher, he doesn't really know much about your real life. Let's keep it that way. But you know what? He does. Nothing is hidden from God. He sees you right now. He sees you all throughout the week. You can't fool Him. Have a willingness to change. He will help you. That's why He has come to live within you and help you. But you've got to be willing to cooperate with what the Spirit wants to do in your life. That's my prayer, and I pray that that will be our communal prayer during this series on 1 Corinthians. To conclude, let me just say this. Are you in need of some prayer? We'd like to pray for you right now, as Eric's going to lead a song in a minute. This is an opportunity for you to ask for prayers. Maybe you've wronged someone here at this church and you want to make it right. This is an opportunity where you can pray for prayers about how to do that. Maybe you need to be baptized into Christ. You need to start a new life with Him today. You need to be on this journey. Let us know what we can do to help you today. But as we go through this series, be open to the Word of God, be willing to come to the doctor. Let's stand and let's sing this song. If you have a need, please come forward.